Okay, good evening, everybody. Good evening. We're going to be learning more on Simkuf Nun Vav today. We started speaking about Seder Masu Matan, which is the simon and the halacha relevant to somebody going to work. We learned the Shulchan Aruch says that the person should do Melachtoi Arai, Tirosoi Iker. So where does Kol come into that? How does Kol life come into it? In fact, I think somebody asked. How does Kol life come into that? Kolim. Kolim. Toyose Iker Melach to Arai. So the Bialocha speaks about it. Bialocha says as follows. He doesn't actually mention the word Kolil, but it says as follows. Soifo betel of a gerer is ovoin. So the Bialocha says as follows. Kosva Sforim. The Sforim write, Shezeu Nema Leklal Ho'olam. This is relevant to the general world. She'ein Kulam Yecholim. Not everybody is able to Lizkois, Lalois, Lamadrego, Ramo, Zulios, Eskom, Rak, Betoira Levado. He's referring to the general population, the general people that are unable to reach this high madrega of being purely sitting and learning Torah only. But individuals, but there could be individuals that can live on such a high level of learning Torah, purely Torah, and that is what the Gemara means in Brachas. Many people did like Reb Shimon bar Yochai and it didn't manage. It's not the majority of the population who need to sit and learn. It's a minority. But yes, a minority is entitled and encouraged to sit and learn, and not to engage into business. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu bevadei yamtzil em panososem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to their panosem. V'kein ze kosev ha-Rambam pei gud gimel melech ha-shmite v'yoyveloys, and this is what famously the Rambam says in hand of, the very, very end of melech ha-shmite v'yoyveloys, v'lo yishevet levi bilvad. It doesn't only refer to Shevet Levi. We know that historically Shevet Levi was a Shevet who were separate, and they were a unit on their own learning and doing avodas Hashem. It's not only the Shevet Levi only, says the Rambam, but in fact, anybody who is very, very, his heart is burning to learn Torah, his heart tells him to not to do anything besides learning Torah, is also included in the Shevet Levi, who don't have to engage in business. Hashem will see to their panosa. Especially if there is people who are prepared to fund his learning, and it is mamash like Yisochon Zvulun. The concept of Yisochon and Zvulun is a proof that there is such a concept of learning Torah. Just Yisochon and Zvulun supporting, they each support each other. Yisochon and Zvulun, one learning Torah, being supported, and the other one not having completely time to learn Torah, therefore he's being supported. And we mentioned that the schar is divided into two halves. And the Torah that is lacking will get in the Olam HaEmes. So we're learning over here that there is such a concept of Hisochon Zvulun, the concept of learning Torah only. This is where Kol comes from. Now, we learned in the Shulchan Aruch says that one should do Parnososoi, Melachtoi should be Arai, V'Tirosoi Keva. Mishnah Berurah in Sef Katan Beis continues and teaches us the following Ikar. Elo yasi rak de panosos, you should only earn as much as you need. Only earn as much as you need. Don't do like millions more than what you need. Ach bezeh gufa, but this itself, so echlezom epitu ha-yetzah, you should have to listen to the yetzah. You have to make sure not to listen to the yetzah. Shemefateu, shekol yoyim tzorich ishtadus ala avoch hazu. Is that a person always has a Yetzirah telling him in the background, oh, you need this, you need that, you need the other. And constantly we have to tell us, no, actually, I might not be a necessity. Person has to constantly remind himself, what is a real necessity? Really, can I do without or not? You will only be zoicha to have this malachtoi Arai and Torosa Ika, if you can strike the right balance, if you constantly remind yourself, actually, I might not need all that money, I might not need to earn more, I might not need this luxury. If you're constantly trying to chase everything, then you're going to ultimately be drowning in work. Now, there's obviously the $1 million question which needs to be asked is how do you define that? How do you define if it's a luxury or it's a necessity? Maybe a yacht is a necessity. Maybe it's a luxury. Maybe it's a necessity. Maybe if you fly to Edson, you need to fly first class because I just can't with that. Maybe if you maybe that brand new whatever it is, everybody can. How do you know? How do you define if something is a luxury or necessity? It's a good question, no? How do you define? It's a good question. It's a really good question. So it's very good to know that the Mishnah Berurah actually asked that question. And he brings this unbelievable, unbelievable one-liner, which is in Shaare Tzion. It's unbelievable. It's mamash incredible. If you look at this Shaare Tzion, Sifkot Gimel, he's going to answer that question. How do you define necessity and luxury? And it's as follows. V'kidei shelo yirame ois hayetze. You know that you can teach Shaare Tzion, Sifkot Gimel. You got it? Okay, v'kidei shelo yirame ois hayetze. You know that the Yetzirah shouldn't have a way to get into you. He's poinein. He should think. Ilu hu hoyim ischayv lozun eschaveiroi v'halbisho elifi erkoi. If you'd have to provide panosa for his colleague, for his friend, v'halbisho, and you have to dress him lifi erkoi according to what he deserves, mo yo'oimer, what would he say then? What is a necessity? So if you want to be able to answer, is it a necessity or luxury, you ask, what would be if it's yenem? What if it's for others? So if you think to yourself, I need that, like, what's an example? I really need... Okay, school fees is a good one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If what would be an example of something with... Yeah, literally school fees out of it. Yeah, So what's a good example of something which is a luxury? Okay, I need to have that cruise, that holiday. I need to have like 6 months. I just need to get away on that cruise. I need to go through the Caribbean. I don't know. And I need to just have 6 months of a break. Now, if you want to know, is this a luxury or necessity? So look, what would be if it's your next door neighbor doing it? If it's your next door neighbor doing it, so what would your attitude be? So what on earth is going on? It's such a waste of money. What is it? What on earth is it doing over here?
It's all relative.
Okay, so there's probably an element of truth in what you're saying. It's all relative, but it's not all relative. No, it's not all relative. Some of it, yes, but it's not all relative. If he feels he does it, okay, there might be element of truth. Maybe he was unwell, Nebuch, and he needs that. It is. Maybe that's medical, maybe, well, it could be. But in principle, there's definitely something which is... So that's what I think. It's a brilliant, brilliant one line of the Bialoch. He says it actually in... He says... Yeah, if you'd have to... That's right. That's right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's even more... You're 100% right. He's even more... If I'd have to provide for him, and then if I had to support him, and then he would do it. Would I say this is absolutely completely ridiculous? What is he doing? Or not? It's a bit similar. Reminds me a little bit similar than if you are employee, and you take yourself a certain break. So if you're like, of course I'm entitled to this break. Of course I'm entitled to this. Of course I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to this. What my manager is asking could be ridiculous. Of course I'm allowed to take this. What if you want to check if this is really so posh that you're right, what you have to put yourself just for 5 minutes in the shoes of the manager, if you'd be the employer. Would you also understand this is self-understood what he's doing? Would you also understand or not? So you have to about changing the boots, about changing perspective for a minute. So I think it's just really, really interesting how to define necessity and luxury. Or if B&M, if you'd have to provide B&M, yeah.
The question Let's say Yenem is living with eight kids in a two-bedroom flat, and they really need
Good. You're right. So you of course, if I can just rephrase this, if I can just rephrase what you're saying, Al Todin is Chaver Chad Shtagilim Koymoy. It's definitely true, and it's impossible, as I heard once from a very wise Yid, it's impossible to be Mamashin is Mekoymoy. Nobody's got exactly the identical circumstance. You can't exactly work out what his circumstances are. Al Todin is Chaver Chad Shtagilim Koymoy. You can never be Mekoymoy. It's impossible. So of course this, you can never, but it's just a general approach that what you're thinking is self-understood. I just need that third car. How else am I going
to
manage?
If I had £20 million in the bank and I had to look after somebody else, then I'd have a very different perspective than if I've got 20p in the bank and I've got to do exactly the same thing there.
Yeah.
Because the point is, it's all relative still.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, I think it's true what you say. And nevertheless, I still feel it's an interesting point by the dialogue. I think you're right. I agree that everything is relative. Things are—it's all a bit different. That's just the thing. As a general attitude, I think it's very interesting. That's what I'm saying. Okay, good. Now the Mishnah Berurah continues in Sifkot and Gimel, and it says, "Biyodoi ki." He reminds us about the concept of bitochen ki ein matzoi laHashem loyishia berav oim maat. Hashem can always help if you're working a lot, you're working a little. Ultimately, who provides? Who gives panos? Ultimately, it's all in the hands of Hashem. And Hashem will send bracha with his action. I'm not self-employed, but you always hear from self-employed people. I've got a shvagah who is self-employed, and he keeps telling me that it's unbelievable that you just Hashem sends panosa. He's got no idea sometimes. He works and he works and he works, and then nothing happens from it. And sometimes it works. He said, what he knows is forever when he cancels shiurim, he cancels chavusas, nothing ever works out for me. He thinks that's going to be the 1 million deal and something is going to come from that. Ultimately, if he cancels shiur, he knows that it's just not going to happen. He's talking from a bit of experience. He said that Right, now Mishnah Berurah continues, if gotten dalet. Emunah over here means trustworthiness, integrity. You should do your business with integrity. Should be no theft, chas v'shalom v'samis, to be dishonest in business. It's against halacha. If a person goes, as we mentioned yesterday, after 120, one of the three questions a person is asked, did you do your business truthfully, honestly? Now, really, if I would be publishing the Mishnah Berurah, my personal opinion, which nobody ever asked, but I would have make a new paragraph. Because what the Mishnah Berurah is now going to do is something really interesting. Following the Mogen Avraham, who did that before him, is that actually, there is actually a lot of halachas, which very interestingly, are not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. So the Mogen Avraham, initially, and then the Mishnah Berurah, followed his in footsteps. So, you know, actually, there's a lot of halachas which on a day-to-day basis, we need to be aware of. And it's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Consequently, the Mishnah Berurah then put over here a list of really important halachas which are totally, totally not connected in any way with Seder Ma'aseh Matan. It's not really a follow-on, but it's just things that we encounter on a daily basis. So it's not directly connected to business. It's not directly connected to our world of commerce or world of business that we. But it just brings many interesting halachas here in this following very long Mishnah Berurah. So what I've done is that I've counted 9 or maybe 10 really interesting. They're just like many short paragraphs, many short points that Mishnah Berurah brings, and I think it's really, really interesting to mention them at this point. Again, he's following the footsteps of the Mogen Avraham, who did that before him, who brought in this Siman Kuf Nun Vav, he added some halachos which are not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. So he says as follows over here. Hine yesh kama mitzvahs tadirios, there's common mitzvahs. Shemutoles ala odom, there is upon a person, lasois v'lezoya bohen b'chol eis, ve'eno muvois b'shulchan Aruch. Halachas that is on a person to keep, but they're not mentioned at all in Shulchan Aruch. V'kama me'en atikum Mogen Avraham, some of them are mentioned in Mogen Avraham, medivei Rambam v'shar Achronim, some are mentioned in Rambam in some Achronim, v'chein kama nogas tovos, some are good customs, amuskos medivei Chazal, which are mentioned in Chazal, v'lochen lo'echdal gamkein, I will also not fail, melatik to mention the mikzas me'advorim poi. So the first one is really interesting, which is Kosev Rambam, mitzvah selei dobek b'chom v'litalmideyem. First mitzvah mishtabu ha-mingzvah is the mitzvah of being close to the chachamim. It's not good enough to be in a remote island, to be on your own, and take a Mishnebura out, take a Chumash out. It's not good enough. A person needs to be positively close to Talmidei Chachamim. If you think you can just do it on your own, that's not sufficient. And there's no doubt about it. Chassidim got this right. Chassidim got this one really, really right. To be close to Gdolim, to be close to Tzadikim, whether Chassidish, like Chassidim do, or if they're Rosh Hashivas, or Gdolim, or Rabbonim, or Dayanim. A person needs to have a Rav to be close to. A person needs to be Rav. And don't say, if I would have lived 50 years ago, if I would have lived in the Chofetz Chaim's generation, I would have been close to Rabbi Chaim Oz, to Chofetz Chaim, to Mrs. Zalman. But nowadays, the Rabbonim are just a bunch of shlamazels. What are they already? Tayonim, who are they already? So we're learning of it, that's, as the Gemara says, every generation, Yiftach Bedoiroi, Shmuel Bedoiroi, Yiftach Bedoiroi, and every generation has got these Rabbonim Gedolim that we deserve. And a person has to have his mitzvah, Las Aseli Dabek Bechom Vitalmideyem. I'm skipping quite a few lines, and then the next mitzvah is mitzvah al kol adam lev, is kol adam is echad miyisrael kaguf v'shenem v'avtalech kamecha. The next one that he brings, I'm three lines into the wide lines, the mitzvah of v'avtalech kamecha, a person should love everyone, have l'reach kamecha. It's mistranslated if we say love as really love, it wouldn't be realistic to love everybody. I think, how would we define v'avtalech kamecha, how would we define it in a realistic way? Rejoicing in their good, very good.
Give to others what you
want to
give.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Reb Gideon, how do you define what would be right to expect of after lech kamecha? Do you really have to love? Very good. So Mishnebura says over here, so it means to very much in line with what you are saying. To rejoice, very much rejoice their good. That means that if you, to a random person on the street, okay, how much can you love him already? But if it's somebody in shul and he had a baby, or you know, so got to go promotion, or somebody just made $1 million so you'd be happy for him instead of being just jealous and always like seeing the bad and everything. Just rejoice and be happy for him and give him that smile and I'm so excited for you. That's my after lech kamecha. And also v'lochus al mamonei, be careful about Yadam's money. Just because he can't see you doesn't mean you're allowed to drive into to get his bumper and drive into his car and scratch his car just because he's not going to catch you. It's v'lochus al mamonei, if you care about his money. Kashu chos al momen atzmo, like care about Yadam's money, like on your own money. Okay, I'm going to the third mitzvah that it says, second line from the bottom. V'after mitzvah geir, anybody who's a geir, it's also a mitzvah of loving geirim, giving them the feeling of Achtus. Very, very interestingly, he doesn't bring it over here, but the Mishnah Berurah says elsewhere, the V'after is a ger, is not just physically a ger, somebody who became a ger, but famously, Chavetz Chaim says in Shmir Saloshan, he says that anybody who is actually a foreigner has got the ger of a ger. Not a foreigner meaning that anybody who is not really part, somebody moves from a different city, somebody moves from a different kehila, somebody joins the area, if from a different country, like from the foreign Switzerland or wherever it may be, somebody comes and joins the kehila, then there's a mitzvah of after mitzvah again, make him feel heimish, make him feel comfortable. Right, okay. And then he continues, bottom line, lois shenema, lois isna, lois achicho belvavcho, just be a mensch, be good with them, and then he moves on to the next one, makes chaveroi, famechof, eino oivu belavze. Elo who over Mishum Losesi Lakos, he says that actually this is Mishnah Berurah learns, it's Machlok is a showing in Mishnah Berurah Paskens that if you hate somebody in your heart, you're not over. Losisna is Achicho Belvavcha is only Dafk in your heart. So if you don't like somebody, that you're over on a mitzvah, said the Reis, once you start hitting him, you're not over anymore because then you're over on a mitzvah of Losesi Lakos of hitting somebody, you're over on hitting. Prior to hitting somebody, which shows us the importance of actually having that feeling of the emotion of being very positive with somebody else. Once the emotion is coming out, and you start screaming at him and hitting him and yelling at him, you're over on a different issue on top of it. Okay, he moves on. I'm third line in page 90. He says the next mitzvah of mitzvah techocha, of telling off somebody. If you know he's going to listen, telling him off that you know your tefillin is not quite in the right place. If you tell him that, you know, actually, this, I think what you did now was on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. when you know, do you think, are you sure that you're allowed to? Mitzvah Teichocha is Mitzvah Seder Reisa. Again, assuming, it's all assuming that he's going to listen to you. If you think he's going to like hit you back on your nose because you said it, then it's no mitzvah. The Gemara says, but if you think that your gentle tone is going to do the job, then there's a Mitzvah Seder Reisa of Teichocha. I'm moving on a good few lines, and then it's Kol Almana V'yosam V'loisanu, and he brings in a mitzvah of anybody who's an Almana or a Yosam is, you have to be very, very, very careful. They're emotionally, they're finding it very difficult, so you really need to make sure that you're not offending them and you need to support them emotionally. By the way, when is somebody called a Yosam? Until when is somebody called a Yosam?
Until when or when?
Until when? Well, if somebody is a 60-year-old person and he lost his 80-year-old father, is he called a Yosam? Yeah, pardon? When he loses both, then he's called the Yosem. That means that if you've got a 90-year-old person who lost his 110-year-old father, is he considered the Yosem? No? So, yes, he's always considered the Yosem. Almano has always remained Almano. What about Yosem? So the Mishnah Berurah says, very, very clearly, Mishnah Berurah, I'm going a few lines down. Until when are they considered yosomim for this area that you have to be particularly careful emotionally with what you're saying? When they're self-sufficient. If they're self-sufficient, says the Mishnah Berurah, if they can stand on their own two feet, they're not considered yosomim. It's called the yosomim, as long as they're eating by their parents, they're dependent, they're considered yosomim. If they're self-sufficient, they're not considered yosomim anymore, yeah. As far as this halach is concerned.
By an almana, that's not true.
Correct. 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 Yeah. Correct. It's yosem. Loiseleh Rochil be'amecha. He, Mishnah Berurah, speaks about the halach of Loiseleh Rochil. He himself says later on, if you want to know more details about this, you look in a sefer called Chavetz Chaim. That Mishnah Berurah wrote himself. Making a machloikas. Next one on the list is Loyeki Korich v'chadosoi. To make a machloikas is your oivon mitzvah seilo yisir koyach kvadosoi. Then he goes very much to the bottom of this paragraph. Leisvadois lifnei Hashem mikol chet sheyase odom to do vidui is a mitzvah. If you are doing any averi, you should do vidui. And then the very very last line, he says the following, or the first paragraph, he says bechelik loisasim kuvtadi shloi lechal velishto is deich soilel vesoive bimei anares. I'm the bottom line of the first paragraph and top line of the next paragraph. I'm repeating. Shaloi le'achol, not to eat, velishtois, and to drink, techsoileil v'soive, overindulging. V'soive bimei anaris. When you are young, don't overeat. Don't overeat. You have to be moderate in what you're doing. Shenema lo yisoichlu al adam. Don't overstuff yourself in a way that you're going to end up being overeaten, because that's like a seru meira. Of course, the person needs to eat. But he says that take it to measure, especially in young years. And the Chaznish writes in the letter. I remember seeing Chaznish writing in the letter that it's avi avos hatumah. Person overindulging in food is avia avos hatumah. If a person just like can't stop eating, he's considered avia avos hatumah. That's what the Chaznish writes. Okay, moving on to the next one. Al yoytzi odom dovam beguna mefiv, not to say any negative words. Be very careful, and people are very idle about their language. Don't say words. Yiddish language is very, very careful about this. In English as well. When people sometimes don't mention words, sometimes I heard once somebody saying, why can't you just like spell it out? Why can't you like spell it out, the word? I don't remember the conversation exactly, but why don't we, like, because the answer is because we're a bit careful about our language. We just don't say everything. It's not about, sometimes some words are just not mentioned. Al-Yotzi Odom Dovom Guna Befev. It's all part of that. It's the Gemara is careful about their words, and so are we. So, yeah. Yeah. Right.
And sometimes it says,
yeah.
And there's a balance between.
Very good.
But I want to make sure, obviously, you can't say things which are genuinely disgusting words, but when do you.
Oh, so clinical words. I just want to actually, it reminds me of, do you hear the point? It's a very good kasha. It's a very good kasha. When do we, sometimes clinically we just need to say the right words. So yeah, the proof. Very good. So I'm gonna bring a proof from the Gemara. I saw in Ramosha Steinbuch explains this very, very nicely, and that's going to answer your question. He said that we find in the Torah, the Gemara in Pesachim says that don't al yitzadav amigunim b'fiv, because it doesn't say tmeya, it says behemasha ene the Torah. Why does the Gemara say such a long word? Why does the Torah say behemasha ene nu Torah? Long winded. So must be that the Torah doesn't want us to say the word tmeya. Okay, so you're asking a very good kasha, that the Gemara itself says, the Torah itself says in many places, Tmeo. So, so Moshe Steinbuch explains very, very nicely. He says that sometimes we need to actually mamash speak about it. We need to say, this is Tomei. We need to sometimes have a, I think the word clinical is really, really good. Sometimes we need to define it, and we need to say, this is it, and this is no good. Or sometimes in the clinic, in medical world or in the professional world, sometimes things need to be discussed and need to be said. And that's fine then, because we're speaking about that. When it's not okay is when we generally speak about things and there's no need to go into details and there's no need to go to spell it out. Then it's a behem. Then you speak about it on the side a little bit and say behem ashen ene tohira. That's very bad. Does that make sense? Yeah? Would you think that's true?
I have a kasha on it.
What's the kasha?
But it tells you what's kasha. What's not kasha is ene
tohira. Ah, it's a good kasha. It's a very good kasha. I don't know the answer. Yeah, it's a good kasha. Yeah. It's a good kasha. It's a very good kasha. But I think the point is, it's very good. Good. He carries on then, and he brings letzonos v'chanifas, sheker, persons who distance themselves from sheker, from letzonos, chanifas, never make fun of things. He continues then, betzedek tishpoit amisecho, to be done lekav schos. And then he speaks about v'dibar tovon v'lach to bedrochov, to go in Hashem's ways and to always be kind to others. And this is amongst many, many halachas that are, some halachas are not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, he brings over here. The truth is that after Mishneh Berurah wrote this Mishneh Berurah over here, the contemporary poskim, they add even more halachas which are not mentioned in Mishneh Berurah and are not mentioned in the Magen Avraham and not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, Kibud Av V'Em and other halachas which are not mentioned over here. But it's good to remind us of them. But not everything is encapsulated in this Mishneh Berurah. Okay, so to recap what we covered tonight, we learned about the concept of people who want to strive and continue learning Torah. They are entitled to do so. Lo shevit halevi bilvad, not only shevit babies and that, but anybody who just really, really his heart is burning for Torah is entitled to do so. We learned the Mishneh Berurah. Then it speaks about how to define luxury, how to define necessity, and he says, look at Yenims, and then you'll be able, that will help you to define if it's really necessity or not. We learned then a whole list of additional mitzvahs which are not mentioned in Mishneh Berurah, such as to be close to Talmidei Chachamim, such as V'ahavta L'Rechav Kamoicha, is also not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. V'ahavta Mezageh is also important. Lo Yisis Nois L'Chicho B'Levavecha. We learned about Toichacha, we mentioned Almona and Yosoim. We mentioned to do vidu is a mitzvah. We mentioned not to overeat is important. And to be careful with one's words is important. Letzonos Chanifas, to be done Kav Schos, V'lach to be Drochav. And having said all this, we'll continue to go back inside the Shulchan Aruch tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.